WJZK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. Five Americans have just arrived in Doha, hours after the Iranian government released them. The U.S. part of that deal includes the release of five Iranians being held here and the freeing up of some $6 billion in Iranian assets. It's Chief Foreign Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
The five Americans and two of their family members left Tehran on a Qatari plane, headed for Doha, and that is where they will finally be in U.S. custody. That is where they'll be on the tarmac for about an hour, according to what sources familiar have told me. They will be given cell phones that are U.S. government owned to be able to call their family members, and they will finally be free.
In a written statement, President Biden says he's thankful for their release while demanding accountability for Bob Levinson, a retired FBI agent last seen in Iran in 2007. The president's son Hunter is suing the IRS, saying the two agents violated his right to privacy when they went public with tax information as they investigated his case. Day four of the UAW strike has business owners near auto plants worried. CBS's Chris Van Cleve spoke with one woman whose restaurant is a favorite hangout for the auto workers.
At Tony M's in Lansing, Michigan, auto workers account for up to 40% of the restaurant's business. Owner Tamara Farrell worries without a deal, the strike could expand to the auto plant down the street.
It's going to be tight, and I think it will affect my employees first. We'll have to cut back on hours so everybody can make it.
Pennsylvania State Police say they've recaptured all nine juvenile inmates who escaped from a detention center last night in Morgantown, PA. Here's KYW's Tim Jimenez.
Police say they overtook two female staffers, got keys, and left the building. They then slipped out of a weak point of the fencing. They then had to deal with the elements, the rain, and cooler temperatures. And close to 6 in the morning, State Police Trooper Dave Bame says four of the teens went over to a house about 4 miles away.
Basically banged on the door. They were done. They were tired. They were cold. We went there, took them into custody.
Then close to an hour later, police got a call about a stolen pickup truck in that same area. There was a brief chase, and police eventually arrested the rest of the teens. Tim Jimenez for CBS News, Philadelphia.
Apple's iPhone 15 is out, and CBS News tech contributor Ann Schur says there are several innovative new features.
One key feature Apple's introducing with its new software is designed around audio, and in particular making it so that if you're wearing Apple's AirPods Pro headphones, they'll actually detect if you're starting to have a conversation with someone and lower the volume of whatever music or video you're listening to and raise their voices so that you can immediately start talking.
On Wall Street, the Dow is down 8. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Waukesha's new water isn't flowing today. Officials announced late last week that October 9th is the new target date, after initially thinking it could happen this week. The delay will allow for testing, reservoir flushing, and fixing programming problems with water pumps. The transition, once it starts, may lead to temporary water discoloration in specific areas. While the Brewers are gearing up for a playoff campaign, they're also looking to fix up American Family Field. During Saturday's game against the Nationals, the roof started to leak. Rain came in through the right field bleachers and the visitors' bullpen. We could learn today about the funding for the repairs to the ballpark. Right now, the projected cost for renovations is $428 million. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Your host, Kristen Bry.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the second hour, the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board, and I am so excited for our next guest, who officially is a guest. He is usually a listener, frequent caller, frequent contributor to the show, and we always appreciate his input. But the backstory behind this is, you know, a couple, but often there are headlines these days that look something, sound something like Wisconsin's elder care facilities face staffing financial challenges that threaten care. Senior living facilities in Wisconsin, staffing shortage is a crisis. Complaints against assisted living facilities rising as staff shortage persists. We are in this state and across the country, a crisis in elderly care, and both finding something that is affordable, finding good care, and it is something that I think a lot of people don't necessarily think about because you don't want to think about it. And so in a previous issue, when we've talked about this on the show in the past, Joe called in because Joe, this is what he specializes in. Joe is of Joe McClear of McClear Law Office in Oshkosh, specializes in long-term care planning, and we wanted to have him back to talk about this issue, both as a crisis, what policy could actually change some of this, but ultimately, with regardless of what policy changes happen, what you can do to prepare for either yourself or your parents as they age amidst this crisis. So, welcome to the show as a guest, Joe.
Thank you, Kristen. Greg, nice to meet you, finally.
Hello, Joe.
So, I guess let's just set the foundation of this as far as something that you work with every day. How would you describe the situation we are in currently in Wisconsin when it comes to elderly care and assisted living?
Well, you said the word crisis more than once, and I cannot emphasize that enough, that it is indeed a crisis. This, I mean, we are entering a time when the boomers are entering their retirement age, and the average age in this country is just going up. Our retired population is just going through the roof. So long-term care should be a booming industry, but at least in this state, it's not. We're having more facilities closed down than we are open up over the last 5 years. Wow. And of course, you mentioned the staffing issues, the quality of care issues. It's a real problem, and if we don't address it soon as a society, then what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years is going to be pretty dire for us all, I would say.
And so, maybe to actually scare everyone, what does dire look like?
Yes,
what does dire look like? What, I mean, does that mean people just dying at home and not getting killed? Like, what does that look like when you say dire, that it could be worse than what it is now?
Well, let's before we jump to that extreme, let's take the more realistic possibility is that if you need long-term care or someone you care about needs long-term care, you're not going to find a facility anywhere close to you. I recall seeing a segment, I think on CBS, maybe last year, about how a wife had to put her husband into a facility that was 5 hours away. Now, that's possibly going to be coming to Wisconsin fairly soon, particularly if in the more rural areas. You're going to be looking for a facility, and there either is not going to be anyone near you, or they're going to be full, or they're going to be requiring an upfront showing of an ability to pay privately that many people are not going to be able to afford. So they'll be looking far and wide for a facility that's going to be have a bed and maybe take them on Medicaid sooner than later if they don't have the funds to pay privately. That's the immediate problem. Second of all, if somebody needs facility care, I'm not supposed to say facility. I'm told I'm supposed to say community.
Okay.
But everyone knows them as facilities. But if there aren't any nearby, then what they're going to end up doing is they're going to be taking up hospital beds, unfortunately. And they're going to be staying in hospitals, and they're going to be racking up bills through that method. Some people do have the option of staying at home, being cared for by loved ones, by adult children, but that's a lot to ask of families nowadays. For the most part, facilities are in need, and we are going to have issues with them coming up.
So I want to talk about the policy aspect of this as far as what from our lawmakers, both in the state or federally, could be done to alleviate this problem?
Well, the easy answer is money. We don't have enough funds coming in to fund our long-term care system. How it works is about two-thirds of the population in long-term care facilities in this state are on Medicaid. Medicaid is the program that will help pay for long-term care, not Medicare. Very, very different. Very big difference. But the problem is that for folks who are on Medicaid, the amount that the facility receives from both the individual and from the state in reimbursement for Medicaid is below the cost of care. So if it costs, let's just say, $7,500 a month to care for an individual in a nursing home, well, what they're going to be getting through the individual and through Medicaid is going to be somewhere along the lines of $5,000 or $5,500 a month. So the facility is not getting what it needs to take care of them. So what happens then is the private pay third of the residents, they got to pay a lot more than the cost of care just so the facility can keep its lights on. So what we need to do is recognize this problem, and we need to put more funds into our Medicaid reimbursement system to bring the payment up to at least somewhat reflect the cost of care, because otherwise we're going to have short staff and we're going to have more facilities closed down.
So, and that can be changed both at the state level and the federal level, or is it separate decisions that get made as far as how this gets funded federally versus in Wisconsin?
It's a little from column A, a little from column B. I think the most important thing that we need to focus on right now is at the state level. This is a nationwide crisis, but obviously we can focus primarily on Wisconsin. We need to have there are more funds that are going to be, that could be available for Medicaid at the state level. We got to find them. We got to make sure that funds are shifted. Now, Medicaid is a federal program, and that's where a lot of the money comes from, but the rules can be state specific, which is why we don't have to go to our United States senators. We don't have to go to our United States Congress people. We can go to our state representatives who live in town with us and let them know, hey, here are the numbers. Here's what's going on in our state with regards to long-term care system. I'm worried about my parents. I'm worried about me coming up. What's going to happen to us in the next couple of decades? We got to address this now because we're so top heavy right now when it comes to the age of our population that it's just going to crash the system within the next 10, 20 years.
Because, and I think this is the gap, right? Because you don't need it until you don't need it, and you're healthy until you're not. And so what is the likelihood that someone will need long-term care?
Well, if we are blessed and lucky enough to reach age 65. And I say that with sincerity because I, you know, deal with a lot of cases where that's not the instance, that doesn't happen. But if we are lucky enough to reach age 65, then we have entered an age period where there is a 70% chance that we're going to need long-term care at some point in the future.
70.
Yep. Yes. 70% chance we're going to need long-term care at some point in the future. And that's just for an individual. For married couples, if you're in that age range, that means if you play the math out, there's a 91% chance that one of the spouses is going to need long-term care, and just under 50% that they're both going to need long-term wow. care. So this idea is, well, that's something for other folks. That's something that I'm not going to have to worry about. Here's my plan. I'm never going to get sick. I'm never going to have Alzheimer's or dementia. I'm never going to have a stroke. I'm never going to have my body's never going to fail me. That's just not a plan. That's playing with fire right there. It is not a certainty, but it's pretty darn close. And if you don't plan for it, you could be setting yourself and your family up for a heap of trouble.
Because that is, it's also, you know, I love that sometimes when people talk about who's going to take care of you when you're older if you don't have kids.
Right.
But the thing is, even if you have kids, the expectation that your kids have the training to be able to take care of you when you talk about recovering from a stroke, when you talk about someone who has Alzheimer's, when you talk about the high need of care that can happen by the time that you need to be living in an assisted or a long-term care facility, the likelihood that your children have the housing that is ADA approved so that you can live in there, let alone that they can help, I would imagine is low.
It's very low. It does not work out most of the time. It causes an immense amount of family stress. I recall an instance where a mother moved in with her son and daughter-in-law. Within 6 months, daughter-in-law moved out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It really puts a strain on the household. And now that marriage worked out because eventually mother moved into a facility, daughter-in-law moves back in. But yeah, well, folks aren't ready for the training, aren't ready for the responsibility that involves taking care of an elderly person who needs help with getting changed, bathing themselves, using the bathroom, feeding themselves. It's an awesome responsibility. And if you're not prepared for it, and most of us are not, things are going to fall apart pretty quickly.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take a break because I want to keep you through the break. We're going to talk about it in the next commercial. After the next commercial, a little bit more details as far as how much does this actually cost? How do people plan to pay for it? What protections are there? What does insurance, like long-term care insurance, actually look like? So we'll be a little less doom and gloom, a little bit more what you can do now to prepare for this.
Hopefully.
When we come back from the next break. But our guest is Joe McClear of McClear Law Office in Oshkosh. If you have any questions for him, are you willing to take some questions via text?
Please, yes.
All right, 844-967-2789. If you have any questions for the lawyer about long-term care planning, text them in, 844-96-PARTY. And we will be back right after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith, if you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay. Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 68. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles an hour. Overcast tonight, lows level off around 52. Cloudy again tomorrow, chance for scattered showers, high of 66. Upper 70s Wednesday and Thursday, with a chance for scattered storms Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
To As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are talking to Joe McClear of McClear Law Office in Oshkosh, where he focuses on elderly care. And so we are talking about long-term planning and the fact that the staggering stat that you gave that anyone who lives past 65, there is a 70% chance that they will end up needing some kind of long-term assisted living care is a wild stat that I think a lot of people don't necessarily think about because, and they don't necessarily save for, because what, in your experience of working with people in with long-term care planning, what do they need to be beyond retirement to live off of? What is the expected annual cost of being able to live in long-term care?
It's not great. Okay. First of all, can you hear me?
We can
now that
hear
we're
you.
Doing on the,
yes,
okay, wonderful. So right now it depends on where you live in the state. It can vary a little bit, but if we're just talking, say, an assisted living facility, which is what most people consider would be moving into, you're still looking at somewhere in the range of $5,000 to $6,000 a month. If you're talking a nursing home, which is more extreme when you really need a lot of help around the clock here, it's more along the lines of $9,000 to $10,000 a month. Now, in your area, in the Milwaukee area, it's actually more along the lines of $12,000 a month for a nursing home. Now, that's just right now. I would love to say that these costs have plateaued, but obviously they have not. There is a really neat website that Genworth puts out where you can look at not only the costs around the country right now, but you can project into the future. So, Greg, may I pick on you?
What's stopping you from before?
Oh, Greg, you're more than lovely. Trust me. Thank you.
Marry me. Go on.
Now, Greg, can I ask you, how old are you?
I'm 45.
45. Okay. So now the average age of when folks go into a facility, assisted living or nursing home, is usually between 75 and 84. So let's just, we always hope for the best. Let's plan for everything. Let's just say at 75, you're going to be going into a long-term care facility.
Okay.
Now, you say it's a nursing home. Can you guess what the monthly cost is going to be for you?
Well, I mean, in a 30 years from now, my guess
years
is
from now,
probably going to be $25,000 to $30,000 a month.
Ding, ding, ding. $25,000 a month at a nursing home. And that's a statewide number. Good job, by the way. We'll send you home with a price packets.
A McClear magnet for my fridge.
McClear merch.
Yeah. I got a lot of swag I could send to you. All right. So yeah, it's the prices are, the costs are astronomical. They're bad now. They're just going to get worse. So what people need is an ability to pay. But, you know, I talked about Medicaid. Well, here's the deal. Medicaid, because it does not pay the full cost of care, most facilities, the vast majority of facilities, will stop you at the door and say, hey, show us you can pay privately for a period of, you know, so it could be 6 months at the bottom end, could be 3 years on the high end. And they're not doing that to be greedy because they want those private funds. They're doing that because that's the only way they can keep the lights on, keep the doors open. So right now, ideally, and this is ideal, okay, don't feel bad if this is not going to happen to you. I always tell folks that ideally, when it comes to long-term care, each individual will have somewhere between $200,000 to $250,000 right now to set aside for long-term care costs. Because one, that's going to open more doors for you in terms of what facilities you want to go to. You want to go to the nicer facility. You want to go to the more local facility. The more funds you have available to you to go in there and say, hey, look, I can pay privately for a year or two, then that's going to be more helpful for you in the long run. For most people, that's going to be their retirement accounts, their IRAs, their 401ks, their 403bs and the like. You have saved up for their retirement. If you have still some at the end when you need to get into a facility, well, there's not much we can do in terms of protecting that. So you have to look at that as a way of saying, all right, hey, nice facility in town. Look, I can pay privately for 2 years. Let me in. You're going to be in a much better position otherwise. But even if you don't have that ability, fret not. There are other options for you. If you are a veteran, or a surviving spouse of a veteran, there could be additional income sources for you from the VA to help pay for more, to help pay for long-term care costs. There's something called the aid in attendance benefit, which for wartime veterans or the surviving spouse could be anywhere from $1,500 a month to over $3,000 a month of additional income to help get you into a nicer facility. But other than that, you got to be prepared. Ideally, you have a good insurance policy. Long-term care insurance is its own product. They're really looking for people in that 45 to 55 range. People who are not going to need it for several decades. Mm-hmm. But even if you have passed it, you're in your 60s or even closer to 70s, you always could be options for you when it comes down to policies. There's your traditional policies, which works like healthcare policies where you use it or you lose it. But there are other types of policies that are more palatable where you can put a bunch of money into it. But if you don't actually need the long-term care, it can come back to your family. You get your premiums back or come back in the form of life insurance. A lot to cover. And I see we only got a couple of minutes left. I mean, this would be its whole hour long.
Well, we'll just have to have you back.
Exactly.
Jane and Greg will have you back when I'm on maternity leave.
Because I for real,
with childcare.
I for real have questions on planning because, you know, my mom is pretty planned to the hilt. She's doing everything. She's got her long-term care plan. She's got her estate plan. And I want to start thinking about that now versus later.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to contact you separately.
There you go. You got a new, you potentially, and I think my parents are also going to contact you. So we're just getting Joe business out here on As Goes Wisconsin. But Joe, thank you so much. We love that you are such a loyal listener and all the contributions you make as a listener. We love having you on as a guest. And this is so interesting. And also so, so, so important. So we will definitely have you back to dive more deeply into all of this when it comes to long-term planning. Joe McClear of McClear Law Office. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Love the show. Take care.
All right. Goodbye. We're going to be talking to Tom Still from Wisconsin Technology Council when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News special report. Five Americans held prisoner by Iran are in Doha after their release this morning. Secretary of State Antony Blinken just a moment ago.
I spoke to them after they landed in Doha. It was for them, for me, an emotional conversation.
They should be headed back to the U.S. shortly. Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
Those prisoners who will now be free Americans will go into treatment at a military facility here in the United States in the D.C. area to help them adjust to freedom.
The U.S. has unfrozen about $6 billion in Iranian assets. CBS's Nicole Killian.
Congressman Mike Turner said he is concerned about putting a price on Americans' heads. And even though this money is supposed to be used for humanitarian aid, there is concern on his part that that could be moved around. And we've seen that type of sentiment echoed by other congressional Republicans who worry that this is some kind of sweetheart deal.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. People on both sides of the issue are getting ready for the resumption of abortion services at Planned Parenthood in Milwaukee today. It comes after a Dane County judge's ruling that determined that an 1849 state law does not apply to voluntary abortions. A representative from Wisconsin Right to Life has stated their commitment to assisting women who choose to carry their pregnancies to full term by connecting them with necessary resources. A Brookfield man accused of punching another man over tattoos is now charged with felony murder. Kevin Seamer entered a not guilty plea Friday. The incident occurred outside of a Heartland bar in June when Seamer allegedly made derogatory comments about the victim's tattoos before the altercation. Prosecutors say that that punch led to the death of Josh Davies a month later. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board. And our next guest, Tom Still, is president of the Wisconsin Technology Council, which is the science and technology policy advisor to the Wisconsin governor and the legislature. He is a former newspaper editor, special projects coordinator, and reporter who continues to write about business, technology, and public policy in Wisconsin. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Oh, pleased to be back. Thanks, Kristen. Hi, Greg.
So we think it was back in July was the last time that we had you on, and we talked a little bit about what the Wisconsin Technology Council is. But for people who are maybe new listeners or didn't hear that segment, why would you describe in layman's terms what WTC does and is?
Sure. We're a nonprofit that plays in the policy arena a little bit, especially with the state legislature and also some other levels. And we connect entrepreneurs and investors. We have events that provide networking We do some writing on special issues that affect the tech economy in Wisconsin. So that's us in a nutshell.
Absolutely. And so since July, I guess, what are some of the major maybe projects or initiative that have come down? I mean, since I think was the budget done by the last time that we spoke, and as far as Wisconsin Innovation Fund or any kind of the things that as far that have been thrown out there to bolster startups, bolster tech, and trying to make tech a thing in Wisconsin.
And we are a thing.
We are a thing. But as far as the continued effort to make people think of Wisconsin as far as the outside of Silicon Valley, outside of Austin, outside of Nashville, think of Wisconsin as a startup spot.
Yeah, well, for starters, every time it's 101 degrees and above in Phoenix, they probably, maybe somebody there is thinking of us, right? But some good things have happened. What's called the Badger Fund of Funds, which is an investment group in Wisconsin, received an additional investment through the state budget. That's good. We think that'll help with young companies. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is getting ready to launch another $50 million fund. That came, had some financing through some federal sources. That's good. We're continuing to see things about data centers that can be cropping up in the state. And broadband, there's an effort right now to sort of reduce the tax on broadband expansions in parts of Wisconsin. So I think on all fronts, things are moving along fairly well.
That's exciting. And actually, it's funny that you mention Phoenix and some of these places that are much hotter and have specifically this year been much hotter. Is that a competitive play for Wisconsin? Because you think about the air conditioning that any of these data centers or any place that has a ton of servers and computers that needs a lot of air conditioning because those computers can't get overheated. Is our climate actually a competitive advantage as far as trying to appeal to companies to have to host or to have those companies here? Because it's like, listen, your air conditioning bill is going to be a lot less here.
Well, I think so. It's definitely an advantage in a couple of different ways. First of all, the heat, as you mentioned, like in parts of the Southwest and other places, that what you just described is certainly an issue. Here we have a history of pretty reliable power.
Mm-hmm. So
that's a good thing. I think the network in Wisconsin and a little bit beyond is really kind of strong. The other piece is water. So let's say you're in Arizona and you're running a chip manufacturing factory. That uses a lot of water. Does Arizona have a lot of water right now? It might be questionable. So, but we do. And we also have a lot of things that really help position manufacturers in both ways, energy and water, and just throughout manufacturing, because there's a need to conserve both. So in fact, we're part of a National Science Foundation planning grant in that specific area.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
One of only a couple in the country. I think we've got some advantages over that. We've seen some things lately with migration statistics. You know, I don't know if it's Gen Xers boomeranging back or if it's climate or if it's, you know, thinking, no, this is a better place for COVID recovery. It could be a combination of all of the above, but I do think climate's in the mix.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to imagine that it's not, just because everyone I've talked to who's spent any time in Texas or Phoenix this summer said that it was pretty brutal compared to Wisconsin. But that kind of moves on. You had an op-ed that I saw just came out this morning in the Wisconsin State Journal that's titled "Range of Rankings Exist on Whether Wisconsin is Good or Bad for Small Business." And so with this, are you specifically talking about small business? Because we talked about this a little bit before, is that sometimes a startup versus a small business can get conflated.
Yeah.
But they're very different. Yeah. A startup often, I think of, is something that gets created with the intention of like high velocity growth, like having an exit strategy, whether that's an IPO or acquisition, versus a small business could stay small. And it is something that requires different kinds of funding, where you get funding from. And so with your article, are you talking more about both or one or the other?
It's a little bit of both,
okay,
to be honest. I mean, small businesses, you're right. It could be your classic Main Street business and retail or whatever else. So the column I wrote, it said, well, in some areas, like for longevity, for example, survival of a small business, we're actually ranked number two in the country by at least one source.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think there's a little Midwest stubbornness involved in that, but that's okay.
Absolutely.
I will not give up.
that's what we do. And then, but then there are some other rankings that were pretty far down, but I think in general, we're probably somewhere in the middle right now.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, the kinds of resources that are available, which is pretty good. The kinds of help that entrepreneurs and small businesses can get, which can be pretty good. You got to make sure you know what you're looking for, but yes, it can be good. I think the overall tax burden is probably a little higher than you're going to see other places, but then you're going to see things, intangibles like hospital quality, for example, which there was a recent Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services survey that showed Wisconsin, you know, pretty high up. So if you look at school, you know, all the kinds of things that support a general community as well as what supports a business, I feel like we're doing pretty well. There's always room to do better.
Totally.
Always room to do more. But that's how that column, I took a look. It depends on where you are in the state and who's asking the question about how good we are.
Well, and who's producing the study. I get all those Wallet Hub. I feel like almost once a week, there's some Wallet Hub, and it's like, all right, well, where's Wisconsin?
Sometimes
I feel like a lot of measures were kind of middle of the pack, and which is kind of goes in line with what you just said as far as a place to start a business is. There's some measures that maybe were closer to the top, like the stubbornness and survivability, but there's also things. So as far as like your top three, because Wisconsin Technology Council does advise and have input on policy, what's kind of the top three things that you think would make it easier for whether it's small businesses or for startups to thrive in Wisconsin, if you had your wish list?
Sure. Well, we touched on two of them, at least briefly. One would be in rural parts of Wisconsin, we still need to do a better job around broadband. You know, you have to be able to make sure that Main Street business in whatever smaller town has the ability to be a business that could reach nationwide, globally, whatever, if they have the right product. So that's one. The other is capital. We work very hard at the Tech Council to try to see that there's enough capital, especially for those tech-related startups in Wisconsin, but there's always a need for more. We're still probably punching a little below our weight and where we should be on capital. That's one. And then finally, the biggest one today is actually workforce. That, you know, whether you're a pretty new company or one that's got some wind in your sails already, you want to make sure you got the talent to get it done. And that's where we just held an event that featured the UW system president, the tech college president, and the president of the independent colleges. And we dove in to ask them specifically, what are you doing to help crank out those kinds of workers? And it was good to hear, because in many cases, there are partnerships with business itself to try to solve some of those problems.
And that's actually, I mean, we talk about workforce issues all the time. And so specifically, what do you see as, if we're talking about a young person looking at the survey and the different kinds of jobs that they could have, what do you see like 5 to 10 years from now are the industries that we really need to be filling and as the top priority?
Yeah. Well, I think in some ways it might look a little bit like it does now in terms of the you know, IT, the explosion in AI and what that's going to do in both a human and a business sense as that evolves. I think there will continue to be innovation around healthcare, which Wisconsin has a great start on. I think we have a lot of strong companies here and certainly a lot of strong research institutions that can really add to that. So those are some areas. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're still a manufacturing state, too.
Yeah.
And so I think you might see more young people, even if they don't go to college or tech college right away, they'll probably want to come back and gain some kind of certificate or some kind of, you know, a fast way to get up to speed and wherever they've already started. So I think that's going to be out there. I think manufacturing is going to remain pretty hot in Wisconsin, and I think it's going to be driven in part by innovation, especially around resiliency, the notion of what can keep those businesses operating at a profit and in a way that they're not, you know, contributing to the, you know, other environmental issues that cause it to be hot in Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny that you mentioned that, because we were going to talk about in the next segment, the coolest things in Wisconsin, made in Wisconsin, that contest from WMC just launched. And so we were going to talk about some of those, some of the items that you may not realize that are still made in Wisconsin and celebrating things that are made in our state. But I also wanted to, before we have to let you go, you guys have an event coming up in November, the Early Stage Symposium. So what is the Early Stage Symposium?
Yeah, it's a conference we've put on for about, you know, 20 plus years now, and it is a matchmaking event between angel and venture capitalists and young companies. It's going to be at Monona Terrace, November 8th. That's the convention center in Madison. It's our biggest event of the year. And so we see investors from all over the region, not just Wisconsin, but well beyond, and young companies, same, mostly from Wisconsin, but sometimes others come in because they want to be here.
There's not a barrier to entry that you have to be a Wisconsin company.
No, especially if I find out why there's a way to maybe try to get them here.
There you go.
that's always a plus. But it's at its heart a pitch event. A certain level of young companies would take part in a 5-minute pitch segments that we have there. That's going to be a couple of dozen companies there, so plenty of room. And then we have something called our Elevator Pitch Olympics, which is 90 seconds and a cloud of dust, really. I mean, it's a quick hit, but it's judged by investors from all over. And so it's our own little Shark Tank. In fact, we did this before Shark Tank. So
there you go. So it predates. Are the personalities as big as the personalities on Shark Tank as far as who the judges are?
You know, sometimes I haven't met a whole lot of shy investors, so yes, it can get pretty funny.
I bet.
But they're at the same time they're very constructive.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see people, you know, rip to shreds by it, but the investors tell them, hey, here's what you might want to do to move to another level and polish it up a bit, and so it's really a lot of fun. A lot of people like it.
And are applications still open for startups to join and be in the competition?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to keep that open until October 6th.
All right.
And then we have a steering committee that helps us pick those companies. So it's not just us. So there's some others who are out there in the tech world who have some great expertise, and we get them involved.
All right. Well, we'll put that link on our show notes for today. Tom Still, always fun to talk to you. He is the president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. Thank you for your insight and your input today. It's so good. It's always so good to have you here.
Oh, thank you. It's always great to be a part of it. Thanks, Greg and Kristen. Take care.
All right. Have a great day. All right. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, this will still be As Goes Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human and effect climate change is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, though.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 68. Northwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Overcast tonight, lows around 52. Chance for scattered showers again tomorrow, 66. Upper 70s Wednesday and Thursday, with a chance for scattered storms Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. I'm gonna be ready this time. When the boy gets a look in his
eye, I'm gonna be ready this time. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. Greg, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. It is another challenging day because I have high emotional intelligence. It was there was challenges, but as I said, we cleared them. We got to where we need. Big thanks to Corey and Calvin for helping out on that.
Yes,
but yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, but feeling good. How are you feeling?
It's funny because I think I've mentioned before. Maybe this was last week with Dr. Lyerly, of like the most important thing you can do while pregnant is keep mm-hmm. your stress levels down.
Yeah.
Today didn't help that.
Yeah, but you're really good at like after, you know, you get in the moment, but then you have to move on. You're a professional. You have to do the show. So you get back in the groove, you know.
Get back in the groove.
Get back in that groove thing, baby. Groove.
All right. Well, as I said, when we were just talking to Tom Still from Wisconsin Technology Council, I saw this morning. The time has come again to vote for the coolest thing made in Wisconsin.
And you can't vote for Kristen's baby.
You can't vote for... Yes. How cool would it be if you could, though?
Award-winning baby!
On last Thursday, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce released a list of more than 100 nominees hoping to compete in the 8th annual contest. And the first round of voting starts today. And this round of voting will determine the top 16. But it's not, when you go to the website, which I was perusing this morning, it's not like a bracket.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Aww.
So you actually have to go through, which I feel like skews the voting, if I'm going to be totally honest, because you probably can send people, if you're this company that's nominated, mm-hmm. you're like, go vote for us. Because it's not necessarily the most user-friendly to go through and like see everything that's nominated. But you should still do it because it's actually kind of fun to see everything that is still made in Wisconsin, including of which. And it's funny because I had no idea. Do you know that Carmex lip balm made in Wisconsin?
I didn't know that.
You did
I did know
you
that.
Did
I
know
did
that?
Know that.
Karma Labs in Franklin.
Yeah, I knew that. Feel good about that knowledge.
But that feels like, I don't know what the criteria is to be nominated for this, because that Carmex has been around forever.
Yeah.
So I would think that it would be like newer stuff, but maybe it's like you can defend your title each year because it doesn't have to be something that's been created or is new to market.
Maybe a legacy bracket or not a category, not bracket, sorry. Legacy category.
Oh, like, okay.
Like Milwaukee Tools and...
Yeah. And so once the top 16 will be in a tournament style bracket, but first it's now it's just like the 100 some products that you have to go click through. And I'll put the link in today's show notes, but it's madeinwis.com, and that will take you to voting. But it's interesting because, like, what is cool? That's what I looking at this list, that's like to say coolest.
The fact that we're like asking.
I feel like the word cool is like to have that be the descriptor and like the criteria is like very, very subjective.
I wanted to be in the room when they came up with this and someone's like, let's look for the coolest thing. And there's some intern who's like 21 and they're just like, oh, this is so uncool.
Because there are some things on here that look very cool. So The Troy Indy Special, the company is 715 Motorworks in Three Lakes, Wisconsin.
Okay.
The Troy Indy Special is a custom-made race car for the road, designed, customized, and hand-built by a small team of fabricators in the heart of the Northwoods, better known as Three Lakes, Wisconsin. The Troy Indy Special has made its debut next to the best of Motorworks in the U.S. and has been featured on Jay Leno's Garage Series. From its custom design, detailed fabrication, and pristine quality, you'll want to get your hands on one of these limited custom roadsters.
You are just doing a commercial.
As there will only be 33 Troy Indies fabricated. So that, to me, is cool.
Yeah.
The screw press separator from All Inns Enterprises, LLC, in Fond du Lac looks less cool, if I'm being totally honest. Like, it looks very functional.
Yeah.
It looks very, like, it works and it does its job. But as far as it being cool,
that, like,
I don't know. But then there's also the Benshot propeller glass.
Oh, my God.
Made in Appleton by Benshot, LLC.
Are they called shot glasses?
No, the Elevate Your Drinking Game with these handcrafted glasses featuring a solid metal propeller embedded right into the side. The perfect addition to any home bar or hangar. Each glass is high quality, heavy, and handcrafted in our glass workshop in Wisconsin. All packaging and raw materials are made in the USA. Each propeller is cast out of metal by a US-based expert jeweler. Our team then assembles, adds a patina finish, and embeds each propeller onto the glass. So, like, that's kind of cool. Is it functional? I don't know.
Yeah. The screw press separator, like, it's like very Ron Swanson. We're like, we want to put your thing on there. That's great. Thank you.
Exactly. So I highly recommend, because it's, there's a skee ball machine on here.
Ooh.
There, it looks like there is a wash bar, like an automated, but there's also wine and cheese.
Okay.
And so it like runs, it's not just like physical, like manufactured type goods. Some of it is still food. So it's kind of fun to go through here and beer tap handles. Custom made beer tap handles.
You know, I love beer tap handles. You go to the different breweries and you see how they take the concept, and some places they're very ornate. Sometimes they're just a block of wood with their initials burned in, and it's very simple. I love it. I love that stuff.
Jolly Good Soda, classic.
The pride of Random Lakes.
Yeah. There. So it's really fun to kind of go through here. And some of it is like, it's definitely, and there's an electric mower. It's really runs the gambit.
I'm buying one of those soon. Oh, no. Electric snowblower.
Oh. So you plug it in and charge it up?
Oh, not electric. Yeah, it's run by batteries. It's, yeah.
But yeah, so you have to charge the battery, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be so cool. Can't wait.
So yeah, so if you want to vote for this, I will link I'll put the link in the show notes for today so you can kind of just go through and see some of the things, the range of products that are made in Wisconsin, but also what is cool.
Yeah.
I feel like that is, it's like most useful, most innovative, like thing you'd be most likely to brag about of like, oh, that's made in Wisconsin.
Slick
like,
looking.
Spotted cow, you know. but I thought that was a fun thing to end on for the day. What is this one? Mushroom gin.
Hard pass on both. I love mushrooms. I can't drink gin.
You have a bad experience once?
Oh, yeah. It's a whole different Greg.
What kind of gin was it? Was it like rail gin?
No, gin is bad for me. Oh. It's bad. It's bad.
Bad Greg comes out?
Horrible Greg comes out.
Got it. Say no more. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening today. Thank you to Joe McClear. Thank you to Tom Still. Thank you to Tanya Atkinson. Thank you to all of the people who are letting us know when they can and cannot hear us. Helping us fix this stuff live on air. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate your patience. I promise we are working towards getting this to be as smooth and operational as possible.
Oh, we're getting there.
We're getting there. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Come back tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page or Squarespace. or Google My Business or WordPress? But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.